Psalm 33, 8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33, 8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33, 8. Jude 24. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. We are here today to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. Living in perilous times, as we are, behooves us to get as much spiritual ammo into our souls as possible, and as rapidly as possible. No preparation exceeds the importance of soul preparation. There's no way I can verbalize properly today the importance and urgency of having the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. Our time in Bible study is extremely brief, as all of us know. We must get every ounce of spiritual nourishment. This requires, of course, the filling of the Holy Spirit. This calls for attentiveness, impeccable manners, no distractions, no unnecessary moving, no talking, and of course, no snoring. I'm convinced that 97.777% of our Sunday morning crowd is made up of serious students of the Word of God. Therefore, we cannot have the 2.333% hampering our study. This is a great day. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. And we spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. May we pray. Father, we rejoice again with the wonderful, magnificent blessings that you give us every single day. We're the recipients of not only the grace of God in salvation, but we've been given a lot of additional blessings in life. We're thankful for shelter and clothing, the abilities which you give us every day. You provide for us richly. And we bow to express our thanks today, not only for the magnificent spiritual blessings that you give us, but all of the other blessings that we receive. We thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity now to come again to look at these magnificent verses of Scripture. This is a powerful day for us as we search through this magnificent verse now, Ephesians 1:8. How blessed we are to have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture, and how blessed we are that we're privileged to be here once again to open our minds and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin our reading with verse 1 and read down through the verse for this session, verse 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, now verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption of sons as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished, verse 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that we've already covered this verse of Scripture, but the pastor has the responsibility of communicating God's Word. When I get past the verse and then I go back and I analyze where I have been with you folk and discover that there have been some places where we have not been together, I realize that the thing for me to do is just to come back and tell you that we're backing up a verse or two and we're looking again at some of these magnificent, wonderful verses with all these outstanding words. We're looking today at Ephesians 1:8. I trust that you not only have it there in your Bible before you, but you have the back of your bulletin and information that you've seen through the last weeks. Ephesians 1:8 says, which he lavished, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. Now, I have to tell you that when I study God's Word and analyze these magnificent words, I discover that there are things that I need to tell you to give you a literal translation of specific words. Today, we're looking at this verse, and I'm going to put it on the screen from a literal translation. Right thinking, right living comes to us from this verse of Scripture, Ephesians 1:8. Right thinking, right living. Now we begin the presentation of the verse literally. From which grace he, God our Heavenly Father, has caused to superabound toward us the magnificent echoes on life by means of all biblical concepts and divine viewpoint. Perhaps you're able to see that I'm presenting to you the last two major words in the verse. One of those we've translated biblical concepts. The other we've translated divine viewpoint. It comes from two major Greek words. We emphasize here the subject of wisdom. The first word that we see here emphasizes the fact that God our Heavenly Father has given us or superabounded on us more than enough. I didn't know how to say it exactly other than to tell you that the Scripture is emphasizing for you and me to be able to see that what God has done for us and is doing for us is more than we actually need. Superabound is the expression used in the original language here. It's an emphasis upon the fact that God has given us the means by which we can live a victorious, triumphant life. We call that the echo zone life. So I translated it superabound, more than enough. And I realize that I need to say here that this shows us and it lets us know that God removed us from the slave market of sin. Because of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior, because of the fact that we've been redeemed, because of the fact that we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and heaven as our eternal home, we've been made aware of the fact that Jesus Christ, when He went to the cross, He removed us from the slave market of sin. What I want you to see now is that in this verse, the last three words are very important. You'll notice that there is the Greek word. Let's look at it again. We'll go back and just let you look at it, please. It says, He made to abound toward us in all wisdom. There's the word that I want you to see, S-O-P-H-I-A. We're going to analyze that word. I would like for you, when you leave this service today, to have clear in your mind that Greek word, Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. Then you have the conjunction, chi, and then you have a word that we've translated in different ways. This particular translation translates this word, intelligence. So on the screen now, I'm going to let you see the root words of these two. One of those is S-O-P-H-I-A. You need to write that out. You can write it in English if you don't want to write it in the Greek, but it's very powerful. S-O-P-H-I-A, Sophia. The next word is phronesis, P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. When you look at these letters enough, you'll be able to recognize them in the future. Many of you can do this now without any difficulty. Those two words are powerful words indeed. These words emphasize or emphasizes the subject of wisdom. When I looked up the word wisdom, I found that it is described in this fashion. It's a noun. It's the quality of having experience. It's the quality of having experience. It's the quality of having knowledge. It's the quality of having good judgment. The quality of being wise. Now, the reason I'm taking time to define the noun is because I want you to see, as we go through this scripture today and see these two words, we're going to see how unique they are. The quality of having experience, knowledge, good judgment, the quality of being wise. Synonyms are intelligence, sense, common sense, shrewdness, smartness, judgment, prudence. I notice one translation translates the word prudence. Circumspection, rationality. Again, I look at the word and I see it's the body of knowledge and principles that develops within a specific, specified society or period. Beautiful words indeed. I want you to say Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. If you don't want to write it in the Greek, that's okay. Write it in English. S-O-P-H-I-A. The last word that is used in this verse, phronesis, is P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. What do we see here? We see the subject of wisdom. Sophia is the insight into the true nature of things. Let me repeat. That Greek word means the insight into the true nature of things. Whereby that last word, phronesis, is the ability to discern modes of action with a view toward the results of that action. Now, these are powerful words. You have to see the difference in the two words. Sophia means the insight into the true nature of things, while that last word means the ability to discern modes of action with a view toward the results. Wisdom is the ability to understand and see from a divine vertical viewpoint. But this last word puts us in the responsibility of utilizing and applying those things which we are learning. So, Lightfoot tells us that phronesis is practical and sophia is theoretical. I thought that was an interesting way of putting it. And then I came across the third word. I knew that you would be waiting with just couldn't stand to wait any longer for this third word. It's the word sunesis. S-U-N-E-S-I-S. I've given you now two words with an additional word, the third word. And sunesis is a word which means understanding. Intelligence. The critical faculty. This word and phronesis are particular applications of the word sophia. So we have sophia, phronesis, sunesis. Three major Greek words, all having to do with wisdom. Now, the question that I have for you this morning is, what is wisdom? I've tried to answer that by giving you the definitions and the various synonyms. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is from God learned by studying the Bible. Now, please see what is being presented in this magnificent brief verse. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. Why is it that we begin this morning again with Sly leading us in prayer before we begin our service to be in fellowship with our Lord as we fellowship in the Word of God, he said? That's our purpose and reason for being here, is for us to advance and to grow and to see things from a beautiful, divine, vertical viewpoint. We are aware of the fact that there are many distractions in life. All of us have, day by day, many distractions. Things that would get us off the track, the major track. There are many good things out there. But when they are good things, but they are not serving the best purpose, they become a distraction to us. So we have to be extremely careful to see what God's plan is for us in the relationship to the subject of wisdom. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. I could spend a lot of time there because I want you to see that wisdom is from God. Learned by the study of the Word. Shaped by the filling of the Holy Spirit. But notice what else is on the screen today. God delights to give. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously. And doesn't insult you or me for asking. I'm glad that we're not insulted for asking. I'm glad that we're not insulted when we don't understand and we can't see things as we feel like we should and we wonder why things are happening the way they happen. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or even intellectual accumulation. Those are major words that I want you to see. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. God's gift of the beauty of holiness. I see this more and more every day I live. And I desire to share this with you because what I see, I desire for you to be able to see with me. And Joyce tells me that if I get excited about something and I come here with excitement, that you too will become excited. And I'm glad to hear that. So I want you to know that I'm excited about saying this. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or even intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. Wisdom is reasoning power. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course of life. In other words, God desires the very best for us. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in human rational thought. Are you following me today? Are you really listening to this? Wisdom is found in the person of Jesus Christ and not in human rational thought. So much of our thinking is human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and for godliness. I pause for a moment again to tell you that God provides everything we need for life and godliness. What am I seeing here today in these words? I'm seeing that God provides what is necessary to face the trials of life. Do we have tests? Do we have trials? Do we have temptations? Do we have various things that come into our lives that are very tempting, leading us off on the wrong track? God provides what is necessary to face life's trials. I'll have to tell you that as a minister, you may not think this, but the minister faces tests and trials and difficulties on a day-by-day basis. And I want you to realize that the desire of the pastor is for us as a family to move forward in the grace of God, in the plan of God, in the will of God, and moving aside distractions as much as possible. Sometimes you may even wonder about your pastor, and I can understand that. There are times when you may even wonder why I don't say things and why I do say things, and I can understand that. But I want you to realize that God has given me the responsibility of loving you and protecting you in the very best possible way. And as a result of that, many times I may say something. On the other hand, there are many times I keep my mouth shut. And I feel like you understand when I keep my mouth shut. There are times when you may want to engage me in conversation and you will see that I quickly direct you into another direction. And there's a reason for that, because we don't need to be involved in some types of conversation. God provides what is necessary to face the trials and difficulties of life. And all of us have those trials and difficulties. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. Let me smile real big when I read that again. Grace provides the searching believer generously in grace. And when you and I desire God's will to be accomplished, God's plan to be done in our lives and in the lives of our church family, we understand it. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. In the light of all that's been said, let me review for just a few seconds. Do you remember this? The Greek word sophia. The Greek word phronesis. The Greek word thunesis. Now, you have to understand that I enjoy doing that. Some of you may wonder, why do you enjoy doing that? I enjoy doing that because in my study privately, I go over these words and I do it seriously and sincerely. And I want to know what the word means from God, God's word to you and me. And first of all, it has to mean something to me before I can come here and give it to you. And so I look at these words And I say to myself, what does this mean to me? And I draw these conclusions as I see into God's Word. And then I come here. And why do I say this? Sophia, phronesis, sunesis. Why do I say it? Here's what I think is the answer. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all unreservedly and reproaching, and it will be given to him. I could exegete this verse, but I won't do that. But I want you to be able to see from a general standpoint, if any of you lack wisdom. And the question is, who is it that doesn't lack wisdom? We all lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, and it is true we do, let him ask, let her ask of God. The one who gives to everyone and doesn't cause us to be ashamed that we're desiring information. And God says, I want you to know, if you really want to know, I'm going to let you know. If you really want to know, and I can see that you're serious about your desire to know, I'm going to make it very definite that you're going to know. The question that I have for you today, and this is a congregation that is dedicated and committed to God's Word. The question that I have for you and me is, do we really want to know? When I go to Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, I read, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let me tell you something. When these words begin to fly into your mind and thinking, it just will revolutionize you and me. What does it say? Of him are you in Christ Jesus. We must realize that the Bible teaches us, now that we're born again individuals, he says, I in you and you in me. I in you and you in me. In studying the life of Christ, coming to the closing days of his life on the earth in those 33 years, I see that the disciples don't understand. You'll notice if you read carefully, it will say over and over again, they did not understand. They did not understand. I'm afraid that that is what happens to us many times. We do not understand. But this writing by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom. We're made in such a way that if we really desire to know, we can know. If we really desire to have wisdom and understanding, we can have it. We've got to desire to have wisdom and understanding. But what was interesting to me when I got into this verse, I didn't just stop there. I saw other things. And righteousness. And sanctification. And redemption. Okay. Do you remember what I said at the beginning of the message? There were three, primarily two Greek words first, and then I added a third one. And you were just almost tempted to say, don't give us any more Greek words. You've given us two now, don't give us any more. And then, preacher, here's what you did. You came along and added a third Greek word. Okay, thank you for being so kind to me today. But let me let you see something else. Being very kind to you today, I want you to see, this is the first word. It is S-O-P-H, I-A. And it is the word translated wisdom. The next word, which we will not deal with right now, other than to tell you that phronesis is the word which actually lets us see that we can have vertical divine viewpoint. In other words, if we understand the meaning of wisdom, if we understand the meaning of Sophia, then we can understand that when we make application of what we are learning and what we know, it becomes beautiful and magnificent, and it brings about unique results. Are you following? In other words, we have to start somewhere. We start with wisdom. We start with comprehending. We start with a right relationship with God. We start with being in harmony with Jesus Christ. We start with a desire to love the Bible. And then as we love the Bible and take in the Scriptures on a day-by-day basis, then eventually, without us even being aware of it, we become utilizing individuals of the results of what we have learned. If we want to know, we can know. If we don't want to know, we're not going to know. God desires that we want to know, but He doesn't force our water. He doesn't coerce us to want to know. But you as an individual, and this is personal, very personal indeed. I cannot do it for you, you cannot do it for me, it's personal. If I want to know, I can know. Because God wants me to know. And what I know is that I have a responsibility to tell you that if you want to know, you can know. Because it's God's plan for you and me to know. I'm trying to make this just as personal as I can. I'm trying to make it so personal that you feel right now that I'm sitting by your side and I've just turned toward you and my eyeballs are focused right into your eyeballs and I am saying to you, do we really want to know? Do you really want to know? You ask me, because we're going to be on the same level here. You ask me, do I really want to know? If I want to know, I promise you, God is not withholding what we need to know to properly live our lives fruitfully and abundantly. When I go to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, here's what I read. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. Somewhere up there in East Texas, there is a highway, a road sign that's names a town, and I think it's called Certainty. Maybe you've seen it. The wisdom that is from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty and without hypocrisy. Are you folks being able to see what I'm trying to give you today? The Apostle Paul is telling us here. I want you to understand something, he says. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You didn't come on the scene as an accident to the mind of God. When you were born, let me tell you something. He knew in advance that you were going to be born. I don't know why it is, but in my life, at certain times I dream. I dream a lot. And last night I had the most unusual dream. I told Joyce this morning. Wasn't planning on telling you, but I will anyway. Are you ready for it? I dreamed that I was in a hospital. And behind the glass, like you would see when you go to see a little baby that's first been born, when I stood at that glass and looked there, I saw a little crib. And there was a little baby in that crib. But it was not a baby lying down. It was a baby sitting up looking toward us. Now, I'm not going to interpret, some of you may want to interpret this dream when I'm through here today, but I want you to understand that I put some things together because I'm aware of the fact that you and I must see this. And sometimes I forget to do it. When you go to bed tonight, the thing that you're to do in your prayer, one of the things is to ask the Lord to remove from your subconscious things that would be bothering to you while you sleep. Now, we're not going to charge anything extra for this. I didn't know I was going to even give it, but I feel like it's necessary for us to see it. Because many times what you carry with you when you go to sleep, you carry with you those subconscious thoughts that have been accumulating through the last day or so. And if you don't have those dismissed from your mind, then there's a great possibility that you could be disturbed by that during the night. And so I must have slept last night and didn't ask for the cleansing of the subconscious. And then I saw in this dream that little baby girl, beautiful little girl, a little baby. But the baby was not lying. The baby was sitting up facing us. And that cradle, that little bed, was not, Joyce was asking, well, was the baby rocking? Was the baby shaking? You know, it's funny, when you begin to tell dreams, people want to ask a bunch of questions and you don't have the answers to all that. But I said, no, here's what I saw. That little cradle was going forward and backward, forward and backward. But the little baby was sitting up, looking out toward us. And then the funniest thing happened. That little baby's hand went up like this and did like that. Now, when the service is over today and you want to interpret that for me, just do it. The point I'm trying to emphasize here is wisdom is from above. And that wisdom, the scripture here says, is pure and peaceable and gentle. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. Stay with me in closing. Look at this. Sophia, wisdom. The ability to have good common sense. The ability to utilize things in a proper way. To have a life of joy and peace and contentment. Not frustration. Not anxiety, not a feud, fussing, fighting life, a peaceable life. Wisdom. Phronesis, the ability to have vertical divine viewpoint. And sunesis, putting the two together and going out and having the best type of results that you could possibly have in life. That's a summary that I've accumulated in my study of these beautiful Greek words. It's wonderful for me to be able to see this. I'm not through. And so in the next session, we'll come back and deal with wisdom again. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. In these closing moments of this service, and we do have a few minutes for this particular important point of the message. Wisdom is from God. To the believer, you and I have the responsibility of being properly related to Jesus Christ and properly related to being a receiver of the Word of God so that we can see from a divine vertical viewpoint. We can see more and more as God sees. And as we advance and grow in grace and knowledge, we're able to see more clearly God's plan for us, for our individual lives. For the individuals hearing this message today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm glad I can tell you that your existence is not an accident. You're here on purpose. And God has a reason and a purpose for you being here. The first thing you must realize is, if you're going to have a happy, fruitful, abundant life, you've got to have a relationship to Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us very plainly that salvation comes through this person of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way. He says, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, I'm the life. Oh, how fantastic this life is when we know that we have life that will take us one of these days, either by means of the rapture or death, take us into the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven, where we'll be throughout eternity. What a magnificent thought that is. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. I didn't say this. This is what the Bible says. And Jesus is telling us that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. It's faith alone in Christ alone. It's amazing to me to be able to understand just a little bit of God's love for mankind, that He was willing to give His Son, Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me when I think about what Jesus Christ was willing to do for you and me, to leave heaven's glory and go to the cross and die for the sins of all mankind. That's beyond our ability to comprehend. That's what He did for you, though. And He will save you if you'll trust Him now. How fantastic this is. I would encourage you. I can't make the decision for you. I'd encourage you, if you've never done that, to do it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. The Scripture says, whosoever, that's you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so interesting, so beautiful, so magnificent, so wonderful. Father, thank You today for salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be many who hear this voice today who will come to accept You as their own personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.